This is Jerry Agar on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Thanks for being along as CTV News reports amid a cost of living crisis driving up food bank visits and economic anxiety. The minimum wage increased in six provinces today. Ontario is one of them, and the Ontario minimum wage goes up today to $16.55 an hour. Joining me to follow up on this, senior lecturer in economics at Concordia University, Moishe Lander. Good morning.
Good morning.
So is it as simple as, hey, people are going to have more money in their pockets, it's all good?
No, but I think governments would like people to think so. It's an easy decision to make to increase minimum wage. But, you know, if you take that minimum wage, you said around $16 an hour, multiply it by 2,000 hours if you're working 40 hours a week, 50 weeks a year, that's still $32,000. That's not going to make ends meet. That's not going to get you a place in Toronto. So it's better than not increasing minimum wage, but it doesn't solve the problem.
Okay. Well, and when you said it's easy to do, it's very easy for politicians to do because they don't pay it.
Correct. And, you know, a lot of low income workers, if they're working for, say, small businesses, they're the ones that are paying it today. And they're already having a difficult time making ends meet, right? They're small businesses for a reason. You know, they don't have scale. They don't have probably very large profit margins. And what the government has done is just handed them an extra cost. And it's not going to be surprising if these small businesses either start cutting back hours, so we're not even going to get the 32,000 that I was just saying, or they're going to get fired. And if you imagine that minimum wage is meant to help low-skilled, low-income workers, guess who's the first one out the door? It's low-income, low-skilled workers. So it can even be self-defeating in trying to help people most in need.
Well, yeah, but anytime I bring that argument up, and I think it's true, because the more you charge for something, the less you sell of it, from a lemonade stand to anything other than, you know, something like drugs or whatever people are hooked on. But generally in the economy, that's how it works. But people will say, well, that's not true. Employment doesn't go up when you increase minimum wage.
Unemployment does go up when you increase minimum wage. It just moves people around on the chessboard too, right? If you manage to keep your job with minimum wage, then hey, today is a wonderful day for you. But no, there are going to be people that lose out because of this. And it's not just necessarily that you're creating a potential pool of future unemployed. It's at what point does labor become so expensive that you start looking at automating away the low-skilled jobs? I mean, take a look the next time you go through McDonald's.
Yeah.
Somebody's not pouring the drinks anymore. A machine is doing that. I'm desperately waiting for a day when Tim Hortons will start automating my ice caps so I don't have to deal with inconsistent product. If you're paying your workers now $16, $17, $20 an hour, at some point that automated machine looks like a really attractive option. And so it is going to lead to somebody being unemployed.
Well, and I'm glad you brought up, Moishe Lander is with me, senior lecturer in economics at Concordia University. I'm glad you brought up that McDonald's example. It's a really good one, and I think people don't notice that, necessarily make the connection. But other places where that will happen is in any kind of production facility where perhaps the owners and managers knew that a piece of equipment was available, but it's expensive and it's troublesome to incorporate it, et cetera. And so they haven't done it, but all of a sudden they start doing a cost analysis when the minimum wage goes up, and they say, I think we could put a line of those machines in here now.
Yeah, and it doesn't happen overnight, right? Like, we're not going to be talking about tomorrow morning how businesses are doing that. But the longer that you keep increasing minimum wage without actually really solving the fundamental problem of why are people in society earning so little, it happens. It's going to happen in 6 months. It's going to happen in 2 years. That's progress. And from a consumer standpoint, this is actually a good thing. It's from a worker standpoint who's already worried about AI or what's the future of jobs in our society. You're just accelerating the moment at which they're going to find themselves sitting on the sideline, because where they might have been attractive at $15 an hour, they are unattractive at $16 an hour. And you're not even giving them the recourse to go back to the employer and say, I'll do it for $15, please. If the company is worried about following the law, they can't do it.
Right. Well, another sort of public-facing example, there's the McDonald's kiosks, but people are writing in here, Moishe, by text message, pointing out the self-serve checkout at the grocery stores.
Yeah, Yeah. I mean, this stuff is for consumer convenience. I mean, it's for other reasons too, right? But you know, there's a large chain then that's making millions of dollars in profits that's just sitting there doing the bottom line analysis, which is, we don't need you at $16. We need now just one person to stand there and watch six self-checkouts as opposed to six people actually doing the self-checkout. So really what the company has cleverly done is gotten their labor for free. We're doing it. And we're not getting paid anything.
Okay, so talking to Moshe Lander from Concordia University, how much does an increase in minimum wage across six of the provinces here in Canada possibly contribute to inflation and an interest rate increase?
Strongly. Tiff Macklem, who's the governor of the Bank of Canada, came out in the summer of 22, so we're now talking over a year ago, and he said that the biggest fear at the time was that all of the inflation that we were experiencing was going to start to spill over into higher labor costs. Everything that we'd been seeing last year was not being driven by labor. And now what you're seeing is that unions and labor are starting to flex their muscles, saying, we want to make up for lost time and we want to make up for lost wages. And so when you see strikes in Vancouver and WestJet strikes and now higher minimum wages, this is now a new source of higher costs for businesses that wasn't spilling over into the original inflation. So with the Bank of Canada has been increasing interest rates for 20 months to try and rein in that inflation. Here comes labor now adding to the cost. And so at what point then does a business say, we can't eat this cost, we have to pass this along to you? And guess what? You now have more inflation coming from other sources. And so at what point does the Bank of Canada say, look, we've told you before, we're going to get inflation down to 2% one way or the other. You either work with us or you work against us. And if you're working against us, we're going to increase interest rates till you work with us.
Okay, somebody wrote in and called both you and me dummies, and here's that happens to me all the time. I don't know about you, this person says, you're pointing out the automation, but you go to one of those places like McDonald's, and they are hiring people. So wherever you have the self-checkout, you still have the help wanted sign, dummies. Well, okay, places that have low-paying jobs have a constant turnover. They're always hiring people. But the interesting part, I think, Moshe, would be if you looked at now versus, say, a couple of years ago, is their total employment up or down?
Exactly. So I've been called much worse too, so I'm okay with being a dummy. But no, that you're exactly right. It's where you might have had then 10 people that they were looking to hire. Now they're only looking to hire two people. And so at some point, they're not going to be looking to hire anybody. But the reality is, too, that, yes, when you do automate a job, that lump of labor that's now sitting on the sideline is now going to find new work somewhere else, because McDonald's might say, great, now we have the ability to expand our operations into these products, which we weren't able to do before. But again, at some point, $16 an hour is going to become $17 an hour. And without a corresponding productivity increase, that person who was just hired in that new job is going to find themselves automated away. It's always the nature of the evolution of the labor market and its advancement.
Sure, you're talking about creative destruction and the fact that we don't have people running elevators and we don't have people pumping gas and some of those jobs. The downside of that for some individuals is they may lose their job doing those simple tasks that paid minimum wage and not qualified for the new jobs that are coming along. Those people, unfortunately, are between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, and that's why I'm saying that, you know, at the outset we said this is simple for the government. The hard part for the government is to really look at, why are people earning $14, $15 an hour? Why do they need government support to get $16 an hour? They are fundamentally lacking skills that the economy needs to put them into high-value jobs. So if the government really wants to address the problem, they need to look at, what is the failure of the education system, or what's the failure of the skills that workers are acquiring that makes them incapable of earning $25, $50, $100 an hour? You really want to solve the problem. Make sure that these unfortunate people are getting those skills rather than just topping them up with the dollars saying, this will keep you quiet for the next 6 months.
Yeah, well, and then there's also the issue of bringing in immigrants who may not be, in fact, qualified to take on a higher-paying job, but that's another issue and a government issue as well. Moshe Lander is senior lecturer in economics at Concordia University. I appreciate your time today. Thanks very much.
Anytime.
Now, some politicians are talking about taking on the housing crisis by building six-story buildings. Does that get the job done, or is that an inefficient way to try and take on the housing crisis? Coming up on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
You're listening to Jerry Agar on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.